Okay. We're not going to dismiss for Children's Church. I'm not going to be up here that long. Probably. Guaranteed hard time, I'm out of here by 12:30. I've got one announcement, too. I'd like to, or two announcements, kind of one announcement. But we have a membership class, which is for this Saturday, the 10th. I believe it's 10th, whatever this Saturday is, from 9 to 2. If you can't be at that class and you still want to join, speak to me and we can do an individual class or a couple or whatever. We know that not everybody can be there at that time, but I can work with you. And we can get that done before our annual meeting, which is going to be at the end of the month, on the 31st. I believe that's what the last Saturday of January is. Whatever. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians. No, I haven't skipped the last chapter of 1 Corinthians, but it's January, so it's stewardship month. And I'm going to be preaching the next 4 weeks on stewardship. But the basis of stewardship is going to be found here in chapter 1, verse 22 of 2 Corinthians. I'm going to back up and read chapter 21, too, just because it starts in the middle of a sentence. But now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you this morning and we thank you that you have placed your seal of ownership upon us. Lord, I ask right now that you open our hearts and our minds to your truth, that we might understand what this means. Lord, not just intellectually, but in every part of our being. Physical, emotional, mental, spiritual. Or that we would understand and know your truth. Send your Holy Spirit to minister to us now. Lord, speak through me here. That your people might be brought closer to you. That they might know you more. That each one who hears your word might be encouraged and blessed. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, I try to stay away for the most part from preaching topically. It's usually a bad idea because it's real easy to start putting theology into the text as opposed to pulling it out of the text, which is what we're supposed to do. At least my preaching professors told me that. But I agree with them. I think it's right that I shouldn't be trying to put my ideas of God into the text, but instead I should be taking who and what God is from the text. This one talks about ownership. I titled our message today, Owned. How many of you every day think of yourself as property? Yes, my son. Property of the U.S. government. You're also property of God. That's what the text tells us. And that's the basis from which we need to start before we can really understand good stewardship is the fact that we're owned. Anybody here own anything? Books? Movies? Electronic files? Junk? I'm looking in particular for one of the things that's really in the news over the last couple of years and is really kind of causing a ruckus more among younger folk than the older folk is copyright protection and electronic files, file sharing. If I purchase something, who owns it? Do I own it if I buy it? Or does the person who created it own it? Or does the person who bought the rights to it own it? Who owns it? Generally, we say the person who created something owns it. A musician who writes a song owns that song. Somebody else takes that song without his permission or having compensated for him. That's against our law. If I take a book that I didn't write and then I place my name on it and attempt to sell it, I'm breaking the law. If I take something I didn't write and I put it in a paper that I'm writing for my master's degree currently, what I'm working on, but I claim that as mine, I'm breaking the law and I'm creating fraud, perpetrating fraud, and I will not get a degree. So we really take to heart this idea that whoever created something owns it. Anybody here ever make something? Sue? She went downstairs. Okay, I was looking for her. I'm going, she makes stuff. Donna's got her hand up. And everybody who's ever done any craft stuff, Peggy makes stuff. You all have made stuff. If only you made the little handprint at school as a kid in kindergarten. And we say, who made that? Even if it's a mess. I remember as a child, whose mess is this? Well, it's not mine. Did you make it? Yes. Then it's yours. Well, let me ask you a question. Who made you? Who made this earth? Who made all that is here? Genesis 1:1 says what? In the beginning, God created. It's another word for made. Okay? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Bump on down. Was it verse 27, I think? Yeah. So God created man in his own image, the image of God. He created them. Male and female. He created them. Okay, if you weren't sure, he said that three times. Who created man? God did. He created them. Us. Passage after passage of Scripture talks about that. You know, every time it speaks, the Bible, that something is created or uses the word created, it's 47 times, every time it's referring to God. God is the one who created. In Psalm chapter 139, verse 13, it reads, For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. It's a psalmist, David, speaking of being created. Other places speaks of being known before we were even created. Now, in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9. And to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, for which the ages past kept hidden in God, who created all things. We just have that God who created all things. It's God who created all things. That's what Paul's writing there. And now Revelation, chapter 4, verse 11. In Revelation of John, we have the elders falling down to worship, and they're crying out to the Lord, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive honor and glory and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." John chapter 1 tells us that the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. You've seen the glory of the one and only, given the Father full of faith and grace. That's Jesus, right? It says, in the beginning was life, verse 4. And that life was the light of men. But it was verse 3 that says, through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made, has been made. It says, for through him. So God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, created the whole world, us, each one individually and in entirety. Now, if God created it, who owns it? He does. If God created you, who owns you? Okay, it's not a trick question. If God created you, and he did, who owns you? That's right. God owns you. God created you. But now, if I buy a computer program or a music file or a record or a book or anything, don't I own it? I can do what I want with it, with certain limitations on some things. But it's mine. If I buy a book, I can burn that book, I can read that book, I can give that book away. It's my book. See, God didn't just create us or create the book. God also bought it. He bought us too. At the cross, he purchased us with his blood, with his sacrifice. We took communion today, remembering the fact that he purchased us with a price. We were bought. I can go to several places that'll tell us that. I'm just going to go to one. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will be secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Even the ones who are denying God and turning it, were bought by Him. But He bought us. Now, if I created it and I bought it, would you say it's mine? Is that reasonable? I mean, if I created it and then I bought it to boot, wouldn't you really say it's mine? Well, God created us. He created you. And He bought you. He paid the price on the cross to free you from your sin. To free me from my sin. To free all of us. So He created us, He bought us, and then there's also that little bit about the fact that He's sovereign Lord. He's our God. Now, He set His seal of ownership upon us and put His Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. He can guarantee what's to come because He's sovereign. What does sovereign mean? It's kind of a word that we hear, but we really don't have much of a comprehension of, for the most part. We talk of the sovereignty of the United States. That means what? Nobody can come here without our say-so, without the country's say-so. It's our country. They can't tell us what to do. Yet, we try to do that through like the UN and different things, try to tell other people, other countries what to do, or send our armies to tell other people what to do. But, well, we actually go over their sovereignty. We take away their sovereignty. Well, the fact is that real sovereignty, real sovereignty is absolute. It cannot be taken away. Real sovereignty is perpetual. It doesn't end. And real sovereignty is individual. It rests in one place. And real sovereignty is with God. Every time it talks about sovereignty, it talks about the sovereign. It's the sovereign Lord. 298 times in the Bible, it's the sovereign Lord. The five times that it's not sovereign Lord, it's in the book of Daniel, and he just says sovereign, but he's still talking about God. Lord is just the word for Yahweh, or Jehovah. It means that God's the boss. He's in charge. He's sovereign. Means He has absolute authority. He has absolute power. It doesn't end. It can't be taken away from Him. He doesn't answer to anybody else. The sovereign owns all. Because if I have power and authority over something, isn't it mine? Isn't it? If I have the right to make it or destroy it, is not that mine? Well, God has the right to make us, and God has the right to destroy us. We are His. He created us, He purchased us, and He's sovereign. People, we're owned. And we need to recognize and live our lives understanding the fact from that point. We keep wanting God to do what we want, thinking that somehow or other we're in charge. That's right. Guess what? He's the sovereign. We're not in charge. Guess what? He created us. We didn't create us. Guess what? He bought us. We're as owned as it's possible to be owned. We need to come with that mindset to how we live our lives, recognizing that we are God's. We're not our own. Let us seek to live that way, to live in the reality of who and what we are. We are God's property for His use, but also for His fellowship. He created us for the purpose of being with Him. And people, that's what we need to do. We need to be with God. Instead of seeking to be independent and on our own, we need to recognize that He owns us lock, stock, and barrel. And that we are His. And that He wants to be with us. And that that's what we are supposed to be doing, is be with Him. So let's pray. Father God, we thank You that You own us. Lord, help us to just focus on that part right now. Help us, Lord, to live in the reality and to really have it become something that we recognize every day, that You, the most sovereign God, the sovereign Lord, the Creator of the universe, the sinless sacrifice, You created us, You bought us, and You're in complete authority over us. Lord, might we give You praise. Might we bend our knee to You. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's close.